Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to Las Vegas. You're listening to the Crazy, Sexy, Cool podcast, where we give our black-ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. I'm your host, Bethany, and I am joined by my friends in real life. We have Meek and we have Elizabeth. What's up? Look, I don't know if you guys can tell, but my voice is really raspy right now because last night I got a little turnt and loud.
Lit!
Yeah, we were lit.
A little too lit, bro.
We had a good time. We had a nice, safe,
like
a safe COVID good time, COVID free good time. You know,
last 2 days. Time.
Yeah.
As you can see, low key, we all pushing through this episode right now. Like, we giving y'all as much energy as we possibly can.
Not low key. I woke up 5 minutes before recording.
That part.
Man. But the baby hairs are still slick.
You know, I can do that in like 2 seconds. That ain't no
word. Yeah. Toothbrush.
like Zorro.
You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of people will message us and be like, hey, I'm coming to Vegas in like a month. What's going on? Vegas is actually pretty open. It's more open than I thought it was, because y'all know I don't be going nowhere. Until this weekend, I had a chance to actually like step out and see what Vegas is like during COVID, during, you know, quarantine or whatever you want to call it. And I actually had a really, really good time. I know, Liz, you called me Jeremy Wormy and all that.
You are.
But I felt really safe and I felt like I was straight. I had a really good time.
I feel like last night and like in the night before was like the closest thing to like feeling normal.
Yes.
Like the fun and everything was like, it felt normal. Even though that karaoke place did try us, fuck them with a stiff dick. But anywho, like, that's like the closest thing to normal. Like I thought, and I did enjoy myself. It was fun. And also, ain't no quarantine, bitch. Like, you know, once you get seated, you can take your fucking mask off. Like,
it's so weird. It's like, so what's the point of me wearing this mask to this casino just to go and sit down inside
it's
of this?
Liability. It's all liability.
It's
so
wild.
Once you get in, you make the decision if you're going to take that. Exactly. You make that decision if you're going to take that bitch off or not. Like, then it's on you. So.
Yeah.
When you were working,
Liz, when you were working over the summer, was the rules like that at the pool? Like, or you had to actively be eating or drinking to take your mask off?
Okay, so like in the beginning, it was okay for everybody to, you know, come in with your mask, and at your table you can take your mask off. But then for some reason, a couple of months in season. They ended up telling you you only can take your mask off as long as you're actively eating, drinking, or smoking, or if you're in the pool, of course. But, yeah.
And so you're training right now for the next pool season. Have the rules changed? Are they already talking to you guys about, like, what that rule is with the mask?
As of now, it's exactly the same.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Like, I feel more comfortable going to open venues where, you know, we're outside. But, I mean, you know, they do say that this disease is airborne. But I wonder if that's going to affect anything, or people really going to, like, try to fight back, because it's been, like, a year since, you
know.
It'll
be a year next month.
What do you mean by fight back?
You know, just, you know, taking their mask off and just having to deal with the consequences if they get kicked out or whatever, or...
They were doing that last year, actually. Some, a lot of people, and they were, I mean, especially when you get drunk, people forget to put that thing back on.
Exactly. You know, people get argumentative when they have some drinks in their system.
Like, I'm not about to do that. I'm drinking, or
because you're gonna get frustrated.
Yeah,
right, you're gonna get frustrated,
and it's in the heat, and you're in the heat too.
It's hot. Yes,
it's extremely hot.
But we also though, our city is a little bit different. Like, they doing these rules just to stay in line with, like, the rest of the country. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like,
it's like
these motherfuckers,
especially
Goodman, Mayor Goodman, especially her fucking ass. Like, she's definitely with the shit. So she's like, open it up. Open them up. Like,
yeah.
What about their families? I'm going to be home with my family. Like, this bitch don't give a fuck. No. I just don't, and I honestly think that like this summer is going, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be 100% back normal, but it's gonna be damn near close. Like, I don't think it's gonna be as restrictive as last summer, like at all.
But honestly, I had more fun. You know, we went to the hookah lounge at first, and the music was fun, and we had a good time. The food was great. But, like, how we just kicked it in the suite and just, you know, just had our own music, our own fun, our own, you know.
Our own little vibes.
Yeah, it was our own vibe. We playing Connect Four and, you know, me and Meek dancing to NERD and, you know, like, we just...
All I gotta say, just give us music, a speaker, and a fucking mirror.
Yeah,
music,
definitely the mirror,
speaker in a mirror.
That's all we need. With bomb ass lighting, okay?
Light.
I woke up like, man, I just kept like giggling to myself. I felt like a little girl, like, oh my God, we have so much fun. Like to the point.
We bring the fun, a little schoolgirl.
Yeah, it was the fun that made you feel like the schoolgirl.
Yeah, it was the fun and the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good energy. You know what? It was all positive energy this weekend.
No, yeah. It was so.
It really was. And it's, you know, I feel like a lot of people are just so pressed to feel some sense of normalcy that it's just like, I'm going to just go with this flow. Like, this is something different because we haven't been able to experience this social. What do we call it? Like we socialized in a fun and private way. Like it was just really refreshing. Yeah. But it was like whatever we can get, we'll take it at this point. But we had
but it
a
was
good
worth it.
Time
it was worth it.
It.
Yeah.
We had a great ass time. Yeah. Lots of videos. Meek, my back is killing me. Cause somebody.
Why is your back killing you?
Because I was
riding the baloney pony.
I was twerking, and then Meek's ass climbs up on my back, and she's riding it like she on a mechanical bull.
A stallion?
You okay.
Like a stallion?
She treated me like a horse dog.
I mean, but, the way that thing was poking.
And smacking my ass, like, going crazy. I mean.
Smacking that ass. Yeah, my whole body is in pain. Got ran over by a bus. Reverse and she stopped all day.
Did we go too hard though? Like,
ain't no such thing
as going too hard.
Hell no. Now, what I will say is that it's a bit different. You know what I'm saying? Like my 22 year old Meek and 33 year old Meek, two different bodies. It's kind of like. You know, when you have an A class versus an E class, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got two different bodies.
Talk that Mercedes shit, okay?
I'm just saying. So, yeah, so the recovery does take a little longer, but I wisened up. You know, I came home, hit like two BCs, pow. You know what I'm saying?
I'm back, baby.
Right, it's some Pedialyte.
So, this was like my first weekend, like, really... you know, kicking it in Vegas. But I know the last couple weeks that you guys have gone out and ran into some interesting people. Which
I know.
A bit of manifesting, I feel like, happened here. So can we talk about this? Because this has happened to me a few times in the past where you meet your celebrity crush. So I'm gonna tell one of my stories first, because I feel like for me to even like somebody that I've never met before, that's a lot. So I've only had like maybe 3 or 4 celebrity crushes in my lifetime.
Can you, for the person who, whatever story you select, can you let us know why they were even deemed a crush?
Sure. So first of all, meeting your celebrity crush can go one or two ways. Either they're really dope or you're like, this person is an asshole. Like I feel like there's no middle ground. Either they're really dope or they're disappointing. And you're like, damn, I really had a crush on this person. Like I really thought they were dope. And then you meet them. It's like,
are they a loser? Not even an asshole. Are they a fucking loser?
Like, yeah. So there's one of my favorite rappers. And I think, you know, people who know me, they know who I'm talking about. I was really excited to meet him. He came and performed at the nightclub that I was working at. And it was my night off. So I'm like, I'm going. Of course, because I work there. I got all access, whatever. I can watch a performance from a dope angle. And then I met him after. He was super sweet, super cool, super nice guy. But it was something about the way that he interacted with the women in his section. Me being of a certain age, I'm in my 30s. When I see a younger woman, I know she's young. I can just smell the youth on her. And with this man being in his 40s, I found their interaction to be really odd. I'm like, what does he see in these really, really young girls? Because honestly, these girls look like they were not even old enough to be in the club. So wow. It was really weird because I'm looking at them like, I can just smell youth all over these chicks. And I was even talking to one. Yeah, they were so green. And I was talking to one of the girls. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm in my junior year in college. And I'm like, what the hell? Who am I around right now? Like, is this a legendary rapper or like
pedophile?
And it gave me weak vibes. Not like he was super nice to me. Like he was super kind, gave me champagne. We, you know, chatted just a little bit, but I could just tell, like, you know, the young girls was just giving him a different type of energy. And I'm like, what do older guys see in such young chicks? Not to mention this guy has a daughter that's probably older than those girls who were in that section. So it was just really weird. So meeting that celebrity crush was kind of like a letdown, I guess. I don't know. Mm. But the other guys that I have met, my other celebrity crushes, were all incredibly awesome, awesome, awesome. So yeah.
So you had how many celebrity crushes?
Right.
Four in like different parts of my life. Like Kobe, for sure. He was my first celebrity crush. And when I met Kobe, I was like, he is the dopest person ever. It just confirmed everything. Like Kobe is, he's that dude. Of course I had a crush on him.
I mean, your crushes is like you say Kobe, like you had a crush on Kobe and then they prolong. Like I had a crush on, like, we talked about it before, like a B2K member, and then like it faded off. Ain't no crush no more. Yeah. Who was it
in B2K? Let me judge you real quick. Who was it?
Oh, it was Jay Boog. Remember?
You look like you like a Jay Boog.
You know what?
He was a cute dude, but I just couldn't get with the hair. It was just like a lot of gel and spiky tights.
He was tiny as fuck, yo. And he just used to like to take his shirt off way too much. And his body was not even like there yet. Like,
I was still young, so it didn't really it did something for me at that time. But if you was to ask me now, I'd be like, what was I thinking? Should I think about that with most of the dudes I used to date? Like, what was I thinking?
Right. No, I feel you on that.
So there was a celebrity crush that I had. I say it was about 10 years ago, but I had a crush on him since I was like 14, 15. And I actually got a chance to meet him in my early 20s. And we had a one-night stand.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So that's what I'm saying. It could either go one or two ways. Either they're really dope or you're just like, ah, what was I thinking about this person?
Well, so, I mean, I met mine over three past weekends ago.
What does he do?
And he's a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have too many celebrity crushes, so you guys know. So if you guys listen back to our show, go ahead and go give us some listens. You'll know who I'm talking about. So, I met...
That's fact. That's big fact.
True.
Big fact. We low-key had a whole show on this nigga.
So...
Yo, low-key, that show was a whole manifestation. Like, low-key.
Yeah.
It was wild. But it shows you how much, you know, manifesting works, guys.
Yes.
But, yeah, when I met him, it was interesting. In a good way. In a good way. What was the question you want us to answer, Meek? Why was he the celebrity crush?
Yeah, like, what? Okay, because, like, we say in crush. So it's not, like, it's one thing to be a fan, right, of their work, right, or whatever they do, but like you crush on him, which like means like you look at him, you know, yeah, like I can see myself,
like I
want, like I'll fuck him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah, I want to sit on it. Yeah.
Right. So like what exactly. What about it, what about that, those guys like drew you into, you know what I mean, like put them in that position where you go from fan to like, oh, like I'm crushing on this dude.
It started from, like, you know, just seeing him. I mean, first, like, listening to his music. I liked his music, you know. And then his swag. He didn't have no hips.
So you liked his body.
So, yes. His swag just actually turned me on.
What was it about his swag that you thought was dope?
It's like how he...
Was it the laugh? Was it the... Well, how did he laugh?
That's
so funny.
He did that too, a bunch of times.
You what? Oh.
Do it again. But that laugh is unique. But like, he was super dope. He was very, very sweet, very respectful. You know, when you meet your celebrity, because you don't know what you're gonna get, or they could be so Hollywood and wrapped into themselves that you kind of be like, oh, that was not a good idea. I didn't get a chance to actually sit on it, but I sat on it.
You didn't sit on it, okay.
Clothes
were definitely on, but he was very respectful, and yeah, I can't wait to meet him again, because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, from the story that you told me, it was like just dope vibes, like it was just sick.
Yeah, so, cool.
And
this bitch was calling me at 3 a.m. I was concerned. Like, I had like multiple phone calls, like back to back. I hope she made it home safe. Like, I, hey, you know, my
go pick her up.
My phone. No, see, this is where I'm a fucked up friend, because my phone goes on do not disturb after 10. So, like, I wasn't getting any of those phone calls.
You know what? I ain't mad at that. I like the do not disturb. Yeah. But I got so many family and friends on the other side of the country where their hours are just different, so I can't do it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I feel like you guys are definitely gonna link up again at some point, because, you know, I think Elizabeth, you are you're not gonna meet another person who like has your vibe and your look, and like he's gonna be like, oh yeah, I remember her from he's gonna remember your name and everything. I already know that. Because these guys meet women everywhere, at every turn. Yeah. But I feel like it was different with you two, for sure.
Yeah, no, it definitely was different. Hit different. Oh. Meek, let's hear about your celebrity crush encounterment.
Okay.
Encounterment.
Right. So, I don't crush. Like, I really don't. Like, I'll look at someone and be like, oh, he's cute, or whatever. Because, as y'all know, I don't date for looks. I go off energy. So that's the reason why, like, that whole crush thing doesn't really work. I'll just be like, oh, yeah, he's a cute guy, whatever. Yeah. The last person that was close to a crush, and this is like, pre-Drake, was Meek Mill.
Really?
Yeah. This is before Drake basically came in and fucking murdered him and exposed him for the fucking weirdo he is. Like, like, oh, I was just a huge fan of his music, like, to be honest. But
you like creatives.
Yeah. Girl. Like something about a creative. Man, yeah. Look. Okay, so this person, I didn't know that they were a celebrity. So... Mm-hmm. I just saw a post on Instagram by a mutual friend, and it said, congratulations to my homeboy, such and such, such and such. And I clicked on it. I was like, oh, okay. You know, look at him. But then I started looking at his page, and he has, like, art, and he, like, you know, like, is, like, into the arts and, like, does all this, like, how you say, like, you know, eclectic and all this type. And I was like, bro. Like, yep, this is it. This is, like, this is my guy, you know? Now, I remind you, I don't know who this nigga is, don't know anything about him. Then I'm looking on it, and, like, he's a BMXer. Like, what? Like, I think that's pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? He's black, for people that's wondering. So, no, it's not a white guy.
It's but Black History Month.
Right. But he's Black. So to be in a field. So to be in a field that's predominantly white and to be like fucking, you know,
killing shit.
I thought that was just fucking fire and dope.
And so you sent what to the group chat?
I sent the picture to the group chat and I was like, crush alert. Like with
and what else?
In all caps, crush alert. And then these motherfuckers like, who the fuck is this?
Exactly. Yeah, no idea.
I had no idea who this nigga was. And then, like, I saw him again, like, post again, like, this is, like, some weeks later. And I was like, oh, man, I want him for Christmas, right? So, I messaged that, too. So, we go to a little engagement.
Elizabeth is all up in the camera, like, yes, sis.
She is. So, we go to a little engagement.
So now, remind you,
come to find out, we have mutual friends. I guess we can call them friends. Like, friends or whatnot. Yeah. I just didn't know it was that damn close. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know it was really 7 degrees of separation in this bitch. Like, I really didn't know that. So, she's like, bitch, he gonna be here. I'm like, yo, no, he's not. Like, chill out. Like, it's not even, you know. She's like, no, because I know so-and-so's going to be here. I'm like, yeah, okay. Even if they are here, it doesn't mean that this dude is going to be here. So it's not. We waiting at the damn window. And Liz is like, he here, bitch. You know? He here, bitch. Hey. Now, this event that we at is a private birthday party. So it's not like it's like a crazy club or it's like small as shit. So like I'm like, what? I turn around, this motherfucker's walking up to the door. When I tell you, y'all know I am not shy. I am not reserved. I am not
around in circles.
Because I was just so taken back where I was like, bro, like this nigga's really here. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? You know, and I think the reason to be honest is the overall, how the story has like unfolded because of what I put in the chat. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like the shit that I was saying. Exactly. I think that's what really took me. Where I was like, the fuck is going on right now? You know? So yep. When you actually can see the universe, you know what I'm saying, doing this thing, and you like, the fuck is this? Yeah. So I'm gonna just make this story short. So we drinking. Miss E over here, she feeling herself, you know what I'm saying? She got this, like, her hair is laid, you know, she got this, like, skirt set on. This bitch, she feeling herself.
Laid by she, me.
She's like, yeah, she's like, we gonna walk over there, you gonna talk to him. And I was like, yo, I'm not gonna talk to him. I'm just not, you know? We go over there, it's empty in this bitch. And I just felt like it was gonna be too awkward, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I wanted.
On us when we walked in, but keep going.
It facts. No, it was, and I think that's
who didn't know that.
That's another reason why it was awkward, though. So I was like, I don't want to come off. I'm too cool for that shit. I don't want to come off as like this little awkward Black girl.
Bitch, if you don't say something, I am.
Yeah, no, that's what she was telling me. So then the room started to fill up a bit, and then like we're like and like she's engaging with like other people, and I'm over there, and I'm just like, you know, I'm over here hyping myself up. I'm like, bitch, what the fuck you got to lose? Like, come on, like you meek, like come on, dog, like fuck this nigga gonna say, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't even understand why I was being so coyish. I really don't understand where the fuck that shit came from. I was like, fuck this shit. I'm gonna go over and I'm gonna talk to him. And so I go and I introduce myself, you know, say some
around, slick she disappeared. Shit. I'm like, where'd she go?
Say some slick shit. And like the conversation started to unfold. Dude is a dope dude, actually nice.
Super.
Like the crazy thing is like I didn't know about his accolades or anything like that post, you know, before meeting him. And, like, to see all that he's accomplished and to also me to experience how humble he is, it was really kind of like, damn, you know? Because you have those people that's, like, a celebrity and they have, like, their celebrity niceness, you know? They're like, oh,
right.
Hey, thank you. Hey, nice to meet you. No, like, when I tell you this nigga was sitting on the fucking edge of the couch and people were walking past him not knowing who the fuck he was and he was just on some chill shit. He wasn't trying to, like, grab attention. He wasn't trying to be on some. So I just thought it was actually dope. So we hung out or whatnot. He invited us to go skating and dinner the next day. It was cool.
Is that where the story ends?
Yeah, story ends right there.
That's all right. Right. Celebrity crush weekend.
You know what? I totally feel that. The celebrity crush that I've met that I felt like I manifested that was when I met Chadwick Boseman. Of course, oh, yeah. I absolutely respected his work because I think he is brilliant. But it was something about, I was like, you know what? I'm going to meet him one day. And when I meet him, I'm going to absolutely tell him exactly what I think about him. Mm. And when I met him, I was really, it was just the way that it just happened. Like, I felt like I had 5 seconds to say what I wanted to say to him, but I got it off. I was really nervous about it, but it was like, this is exactly what you said was going to happen. So say what you're going to say.
That's exactly how I felt.
You know, I be wondering, like,
he looked at me like, what? Like, almost like, did she really just say that to me? And I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to say, I don't think I'm going to ever repeat that story. You guys know what I said to him.
Yeah, because I said it to my celebrity crush.
Yeah. You said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's low-key a sick line. It's a sick line.
Yeah, I sure did. But I meant it. Like,
same. Exactly. You're not going to say it unless you mean it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't that deep, but go ahead and sync that line up in the chat. For my next
for your next celebrity crush.
No, but you know what's so crazy though is because I know I like it ain't that deep, but I do think I feel like in this realm that we've entered, like, you know, like the stage in our life, is that like attraction has now, for I know for me, has deepened where it's like it's as though my soul, my inner light recognizes other light within other people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when people talk about
it's not a surface thing.
It's absolutely not surface, but when people talk about having that one in a lifetime experience, I don't have that. Every fucking encounter I have with people I meet that I actually, like, you know, have that feeling or engagement with somebody, it's a dope ass fucking experience. And I think it's just because light recognizes light. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, it definitely, I have something to do with that, but you know what I mean? But I think that that's where I'm at now. Like when I was younger, I had a lot of trash ass encounters with people, like, you know, but I wasn't.
I can agree with that too. And when I mean younger, it could have been last year.
That's real funny.
You just never know.
The third
person
came to mind when you said that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but that resonates a little bit too much. Like, a difference a year makes, bruh.
Yeah.
Woo. So, Valentine's Day weekend, I watched a little movie called Malcolm and Marie. Liz, before I got a chance, because look, I am a huge fan of Euphoria, okay? And the writer and director of Euphoria wrote and directed Malcolm and Marie. So I'm already a fan of this writer and the cinematographer and all of their work. And of course, Zendaya, because she's fire. And John David Washington, fire. I was super excited to see this project, but I had to wait because I wanted to watch it with my boyfriend. So people kept saying, yo, have you seen it yet? Have you seen it yet? I was like, no, I'm waiting until like Thursday or Friday so I can watch it.
I just knew you watched it before but me because I was Friday, up like...
I was ready. But I'm like, you know what? Let me hold off and wait. But people were saying, you know what? You probably should not watch this with your significant other because it shows, it depicts a toxic relationship or it's going to bring up conversations and different. I'm just like, what kind of people you deal with where you can't watch a movie of a couple, a fictional story of a couple going through something. So my question, since you guys have both seen it, this is just a question I was thinking of. Is Malcolm and Marie's relationship actually toxic, or were they simply having, were they communicating painful truths?
Okay, so when, so the way I viewed it, I did view it as a little toxic, but like the more looking into the relationship, it was the communication definitely was off. And as the story unraveled, what she was doing, I was like, damn, what the fuck? And then also just like how they both with I feel like the lack of the communication with each other about their emotions, which made it toxic and made them have all these bundle of emotions that just exploded within that one night. That was just one night, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say the whole relationship was toxic. That was just that one night of emotions being exploded. So the lack of communication of how, I forgot how long they were in a relationship for, whatever.
So I think he met her when she was 20.
And 22.
So she was 22, so they were together for 2 years?
No. I thought she was younger than that. It was 20?
She was 20, yeah. And I think in the, you know, as they're having this conversation or whatever you want to call it, she was 25.
So,
5-year relationship.
She grew, he grew.
But did they?
They grew separately, but not with each other.
My thing is, how do you date someone for 5 years or 2 years? Even if, let's say it was 2 years, but like for 5 years, and you're just now having these deep conversations about your past lovers, you know, like just
that definitely happens. Like they ignored it. They didn't want to make the anything obviously uncomfortable situation. Like I said, this is one night, so I don't know how they really interact with it within their day of their emotions. But it seemed like they didn't really talk about it at all, like at all.
I don't think that's fair to say the whole 5-year thing, because those things were going on within the relationship. So while they're experiencing the actual relationship, they're having situations that are happening, and now this is a result of those situations that they experienced with each other. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to say, oh, 5 years you guys haven't had this conversation. Like, I mean, when you're going through things, especially like, I mean, you know, I know I've experienced it with you, Bethany, where you're like, I have to take my time and collect my thoughts. And I know I've experienced it myself within a relationship where after I actually sit on a situation, you don't realize how something may resonate with you or truly impact you until you're triggered in some type of way as to what may cause the delay, you know.
So what I'm thinking about in particular was the bathtub scene where Malcolm is telling Marie about his past lovers, and he's just running down the list to tell her, you're not the only broken person I've loved.
So wait, so do you think that is healthy conversation to go into specifics about past lovers?
Well, first of all, I think that Malcolm's character, he's a narcissist. I just really think he's just so self-absorbed, and it's all about him and his story. Yes, narcissists can love people, but it's like he also has like this superhero save-a-ho type thing. Like he likes to be the guy who comes in and sweeps women out of their crazy life situation. He wants to help and save women. And it was just like a huge therapy session watching these people talk about, like, in a way, why they were in a relationship with this other person. You know, like for him to have dated women who are just like Marie before, is like there's a pattern going on here.
Definitely a pattern.
Is this healthy that you date women who have a very specific issue? And this issue is, you know, women who are dealing with drug addiction. You know, it was just really, I just felt like he was a narcissist. But I felt like at some point when you're dating people, you have to understand who they dated before you, just to kind of see. For me, I'm not sure if it's like that for you guys, but I like to know, not, I don't need to know like her name and where she's from and all that stuff, but like as a person, who are these women that you dated in the past? So I can see like,
so how do you ask those questions? So to piggyback on E,
that's what I'm trying to say. Do you think that those type, that relationship is, I mean, that conversation is a must? And I'm talking, because he was going in specifics. So it wasn't even like, oh, I had this situation.
Yeah, he went into
like,
detail.
So he went into
and
detail.
And she sat there asking him, are you done?
So do you think that, no, but you were saying that, like, you know, like for her to find this out now. So I'm not, that's what my question is that, like, when getting into a relationship, do you think at some point you guys should discuss the specifics of past relationships? Or maybe even, and even if it's not, maybe if it's not even full committed relationships, but in relationships that your partner feel impacted them, you know, in some type of way. Do you think that it's important to have that type of relation, that type of conversation?
I think some people do want to know. I'm one of those people who would like to know, but there are some people who would care less. They thinking, you know what, this is the guy or the woman that I'm dating now. I'm cool with what we have. Who gives a fuck about the past? Me, the question that I asked to find this out is like, have you ever been in love before? I want to know who you've loved, like who have impacted your life in that way.
Right. But even that question alone doesn't answer like his actual interactions with women. So it's like, it wasn't until that bathroom scene where he wanted to basically stick it to Marie in some, you know, in a malicious way. And he started to say things. And to be honest, I don't think everyone actually noticed that pattern, you know. And I think it also depends on what kind of state of mind you in. Like, where you, like, some people hear people, but very few people actually listen to people. So some people are like, oh, my God, he's so fucked up, girl. Why would he? And it's like, no, actually, he's telling on himself. He's telling on his own toxic ass behavior. If you're actually listening to what he's saying. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, even within those conversations, I honestly don't think that you will actually receive the truth. That's what I guess that's what I'm leading to. Yeah, you can ask, like, have you ever loved before? And I think, yeah, I agree. Those questions are absolutely important. But to get the in-depth insight that we got on Malcolm, the way that we did with him in that scene, I don't think you will receive that through those type of conversations, personally.
Mm. Yeah, and I honestly don't think it would have came out at all if he didn't make it the movie where she was asking questions and then he just finally was like, all right, let me say something to get up on her.
Let me fuck her up real quick.
Yeah, right. So he would have never said
anything. He completely exposed himself. I do think that both of them did grow together, and especially Marie, because it seemed as though like she came from a very you know, she had a substance abuse, you know, disorder, and she also, you know, dealt with depression, which you can see that she probably still, you know, if she was a real person, she probably still deals with that in and out. But the way that she's addressing it, I feel, is a mature way that I don't think that a 20-year-old Marie would have been able to do. So yeah, like to the question of like, did they actually grow? I do think so. And as to why the shit that when Malcolm was saying what he was saying, it just didn't settle with her anymore. You know, with actual growth, you get to a point where things that you used to accept in the past, you just, it's like, nah, like, I'm not accepting this bullshit no more, you know?
So, Meek, do you think it was a toxic relationship?
I do. I'm going to say yes. I don't think that the conversation was toxic, but I do think that there was codependency.
Okay.
That there was codependency between the two lovers. Like, they both, you know, was highly dependent on each other's on each other's situation. So she depended on him because he allowed her to not face her actual faults and not pursuing her career. Like, he served as a distraction for her, where like she could use him as a scapegoat to say, oh, the reason why I didn't pursue my self-interest is because I was such a devoted girlfriend. And that's how she was able to define herself. Whereas with Malcolm, he used her, you know, dependence on on drugs to, like you said, the superhero, I am that man, I'm a good man, because I'm the one that held your head while you, you know, was throwing up in the toilet and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the reason why I think it's toxic is because even though technically on surface it looks like they are helping each other out, in actuality they are enabling each other, you know? So, yeah, I do define it as toxic, but I don't think the conversation of in the movie was toxic. I think that we have been conditioned to think that conversation should be so kumbaya and peaches and cream, but we fail to realize that within love, there's pain. You know, like, pain is a part of love. Like, I don't care what anybody fucking says. And sometimes you have to expose ugly truths to get to that good, the good, true essence of love.
Exactly.
And just because you don't like what's being said does not mean that it's toxic. Granted, yeah, they were yelling at each other. Come on now. Like, it's an argument. Who knows if you're, when you're triggered like that, because you could tell that a lot of the triggers were, like, deeply rooted. When you're triggered like that, please show, it's very seldom a lot of people can really compose themselves and actually, you know, come up, conjure up the words to explain what they're feeling in such a composed state. I feel like that's not being realistic, you know?
Right.
But the thing that I, the reason why I categorize it as, I don't categorize it as toxic is, even when they would go to war, you could see after each battle, they would then return back to this place of love. And it was the love that was keeping them in the room. They, neither one of them had to fucking lead a, they could have left. You know what I'm saying? Fuck this shit. I'm not, you know what I mean? Fuck this. Da-da-da. They did it, and they kept going and kept going and kept going and kept pushing it, and it kept dropping ugly ass truths. And then you start, it's like pulling back layers. And also when you facing a conflict, you have to realize that you're going against people's defense mechanism, which is their super ego. You got to surpass the super ego to really get to the, to the ego part, you know what I mean? The root, yeah, you have to surpass that. And it's like, it, that's what I saw. I saw a battle of the super egos. And then it gets to that, to me, was the best scene, was the bedroom scene.
I was about to ask which one, what was your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part of the movie was the bedroom scene. The, where I forgot what, I think they were about to have sex or something like that. And then she said something. And then it knocked him off. And he you know, calls himself checking her. And low-key, he did. And then you could see that, like, in Zendaya's, in Marie's character, she let go of her pride. Because through the whole movie, she was addressing the issue with pride first. Like, no, the reason why you did this is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But in this bedroom scene, you could just tell, like, she just let all that go. And was allowed herself to be vulnerable and was like, this is all I wanted. This is the reason why this is the reason why this meant so much to me. And this is all I wanted. And you could feel it in the energy that she was projecting. And in a sense, you could tell Malcolm felt the shift in energy and he start crying. He had no word.
He had to back off.
Back down.
Yeah, he had to just back down, just chill out.
And that's the reason why vulnerability is such a strength, because I feel like vulnerability can truly, like, you know, heal people in so many ways, because, like it's not about the words you say. It's the energy that's tacked onto the words. You know what
it's
I mean?
How you,
like,
deliver it as
I mean, it's past delivery. It's on it. Like, to me, it's like it's the energy. You know, if I'm telling somebody I love you and I'm coming from, and I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable and I'm coming from a vulnerable place and I'm tacking that vulnerability onto those words, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. But if I'm like, I love you, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't care. This is about, like, and you could tell someone's just like in autopilot.
It
doesn't feel the same. It does not feel the same. So
what was your favorite part? Oh, real quick. Let me read this quote from Zendaya. She said, "None of us who made the movie think they're in a healthy relationship." You know what I mean? I think it was to explore those insecurities and those dark things about ourselves that I think sometimes relationships can bring out.
Yeah.
And I 100%
definitely agree.
Yeah. What was your favorite part, Liz?
I would say my favorite part is when they were in the bedroom, but it was the beginning part of the bedroom when he was letting her know her dark insecurities about herself. when she was sitting there and he was like, you have to work harder than 100, you know, 99% of other people, like shit like that. Like, that was kind of my favorite part. Kind of made me cry because, like, you know, I got a lot of insecurity.
You felt that.
So
I felt that on a molecular level.
Yeah, it's a whole different type. Yeah. But yeah, that was my favorite part. What about you, B? To reverse the question on you.
It's a tie between when she pulled that knife out.
Ooh, oh, yes. That part. Oh, him.
My God. Y'all, it's crazy.
Yo, that was wild.
That part.
She did that. He was so shook. Now, I really enjoyed that scene. I really enjoyed that scene. I also enjoyed, there was really no dialogue between Malcolm and Marie, but when they went outside and they were sitting on a little patio and she's playing that Dionne Warwick song, Get Rid of Him. And she just let the whole song play. He sat there and was taking it for a minute until he just stood up like, man, fuck this. He just left. Yeah. I just like
that knife scene was fire as shit.
Crazy.
Fire as shit.
She is awesome.
I and you guys pointed something out. It's like, it goes to show the importance of relationships. Like, if we were able to, like, you know, be our own therapist and we threw shit on our own, you know what I'm saying? Like, we wouldn't need therapists or, like, you have the engagement with another helps expose certain things about you that certain doors you are afraid to open up within yourself. You know what I'm saying? As to why your subconscious. Yeah, sometimes your subconscious hides certain doors, but then yet you engage with other people and it kind of brings that shit to light. So yeah, like, I think that's like that whole like lone wolf, I'm on my own, I do, I'm self-made. That is like, bro, like studies show that the more healthy relationships you have, the longer you know, like your life expectancy becomes longer. Yeah.
From romantic relationships, friendships, different relationships with your family. Like, yeah, you find so much out about yourself and it can be scary. That's why I said, like, were they just simply communicating painful truths? Like, it just so happened to be with the person that they're romantically involved with.
Yeah. I don't think it's toxic though. I really don't, you know, I don't. And I've had those moments with people that I love and, you know, on every level. And then, like, and every time I did, we came out stronger. We came out with a clearer understanding, a clearer direction as to where our relationship was going. And this is friends, family, and lover. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You have to go through the storm.
All right. So, we're not going to have a red light special this week because we're going to put something else together for you, for our loyal listeners. We'll have something within the next few weeks to check out. So make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube and all the podcast platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe. We also need some ratings and some comments. Leave comments. Let us know what's going on. Like, hello. but before we go, Meek, do you have a quote this week?
Girl. If the opportunity presents itself, shoot your motherfucking shot.
Yes, honey. Life's short, man.
Yes, shoot your shot. Except for Elizabeth, because she's gonna block it. All right.
Matumbo, not in my house.
All right. So until next week, we out this bitch.